Chapter 14. The Power of One. After the final no, there comes a yes. And on that yes, the future world depends. So wrote the poet Wallace Stevens, and so goes our generation's challenge to turn the world from its unsustainable course. Our problems are solvable, but as we try to solve them, we will hear a million no's. No, we need not change. No, we cannot change. No, we must prepare for war. No, we cannot risk making peace. Yet after that final no will come a yes. It has been said that the most important trait in a successful politician is persistence. As our task, achieving cooperation at a global scale, is political at the core, persistence will be our greatest asset as well. We will have to believe in our own millennium promises, despite a global chorus of pessimists who pronounce those promises to be unattainable. Yet persistence will pay off in the end. The goals are achievable, as we have seen, and at vastly lower cost and vastly greater benefit than is currently imagined. We have to gird ourselves against the unholy trinity of reactionary rhetoric identified by the great development economist Albert Hirschman. He noted that every new idea for constructive change is met with three attacks. The first is futility. The course of reform cannot work because the problem is unsolvable. The second is perversity. Any attempt at solution will actually make matters worse. The third is jeopardy. Attempting to solve the problem will take attention and resources away from something even more important. This negativism is a state of mind when it's not simply a game. Vigorous debate over the methods of change is, of course, healthy and vital. Relentless acceptance of the status quo is not acceptable in the face of the challenges we confront. I have sketched a model of global change based on the idea that shared global goals, with timetables and targets, can create a slipstream of change. If the world hews to the Millennium Promises, they will induce each of us, in our personal lives, our work, and our communities, to move toward the shared global objectives. As the world converges toward those objectives, the force of convergence will strengthen. What seems possible at the start, requiring billions of fragmentary and uncoordinated actions, will ultimately take shape as a global movement to achieve peace, prosperity, and environmental sustainability. However, we are not only the subjects of history carried along by blind forces, but also the agents of history. Our intentions help determine whether the world converges to shared goals or breaks apart into war and distrust. The chances for success will depend on the extent to which each of us, in our many roles in society, becomes a positive maker of change. In the end, as John Kennedy said, peace will be a process, not the result of a grand or magic formula, but the sum of many acts. Or in his brother Robert's famous formulation, it is from numberless diverse acts of courage and belief that human history is shaped. Each time a man stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring those ripples to build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. The energy and daring is to resist the no's until the final yes has been achieved. The stakeholders of change. Human activity is organized through institutions that facilitate long-term cooperation. That begins with the family, and extends into larger groups, including the clan, the community, business enterprise, government, all the way to global apex organizations such as the United Nations, with its membership of 192 governments. Each of these institutions arose because it facilitated some kind of specialized cooperation not available in the other institutions. Institutions die when they no longer serve a useful role in coordinating such activities. We have seen that in the case of economic development, cooperation is needed at all levels, from the most micro, within the household, to the most global, for example, in treaties at the World Trade Organization to manage international trade. The households manage certain kinds of cooperation on the smallest scale, between parents and children, husbands and wives. The community is vital for other kinds of cooperation, for example, to build and manage schools and clinics, to tend to the local environment, to settle local disputes. Higher levels of government are needed to pave the roads that connect communities and to create the power grid that brings electricity to them. And national governments are needed to look after national borders, seaports, and international airports, and to support the basic and applied sciences needed to address complex economic and social problems. Of course, business organizations, from a one-person shop to a global multinational corporation, manage technologies and the international coordination of the workforce needed to supply goods and services to customers. The challenges of sustainable development, whether in heading off climate change, fighting extreme poverty, stabilizing populations, or ensuring adequate water supplies for human use and crops, all must harness actions from a wide array of institutions.